This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه وادخلنا برحمتك في عبادك الصالحين امين يا رب العالمين. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله وبركاته everyone and welcome to day 3 of our halaqa series, Be Mindful of Allah, an explanation of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's advice to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu. Tayyib, bismillah. So let's start with some review. This is what we'll be covering today, inshallah. Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we're going to try to complete what we started last week, and also hopefully we'll get to the part about seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib, so some review. I got some candy. Hazim got us some candy. So last week we talked about the beginning of the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said to Ibn Abbas, ihfadillah, right? And we said that if we translated that word to word, it doesn't make sense. Like, protect Allah or safeguard Allah. And we talked about what it really means. Who can tell me what it really means? Who can tell me? Just raise your hand. Tadal. Ihfad hudud al, mashallah. See, he wants candy. Can I throw it? Yeah, I'm going to practice my throwing today. mashallah. طيب. Awesome. So, ihfad hudud al, يعني take care of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take care of the limits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. Actually, another question, I didn't put it there, but another question is, we said, ihfad hudud Allah, يعني be mindful of the limits of Allah. We mentioned three things. What does that encompass? We mentioned three things last week. We mentioned three things that you should do and that you should stay away from. We should do one thing and stay away from two things. We mentioned last week. تفضل حازم. Yeah, so stay away from the gray area. So, okay, what else we say stay away from? What's worse than the gray area? The haram. And then you should follow or do. What Allah? Easy. Yeah, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahsant, mashallah. See, I'm giving you back your candies. Inshallah. Tafaddal. Jazakallah khair. Ahsant. So those three things we said, when you say ihfadillah, when you're mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you follow the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, this is important because if you want all the benefits of the hadith, you need to master this, right? To follow the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to stay away from the haram, right? What Allah prohibited. And we also added, we say stay away from the gray area, right? Because if you stick around the gray area too long, right, the area that's doubtful, you're gonna end up what? You're gonna end up doing haram. You're gonna end up in the haram. Tayyib, Jameel. Another question. We mentioned some of the things that are like priority in being mindful of. What are some of the things that we mentioned? Hands. He's the only that wants candy today, inshallah. Tafaddal. Munir, صح? Munir? Naam, Munir. What did we mention? صح, prayer. Sahih, naam. Naam, ahsant. We mentioned prayer. And also, what else? Wudu. Okay. He wants all the candy. Inshallah, I'll give you more later. Let's leave some for the others. What else we mentioned? So, wudu, salah, واحفظوا سورة المائدة لا يؤخذكم الله باللغو الأيمان أحسنت الأيمان right the vows or the oaths that you take واحفظوا أيمانكم جميل and we mentioned others mashallah so these are some of the things that are mentioned that we should be very mindful of طيب we also mentioned about Allah's so we said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to Ibn Abbas احفظ الله يحفظك يعني be mindful of Allah سبحانه وتعالى and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. طيب, so is this protection conditional? From the hadith, يعني the basic understanding is what? Is it conditional or no? Yes, it's conditional. نعم. So يعني if you want the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you have to be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, جميل جدا. طيب, so inshallah today, we'll try to finish that part about يحفظك, and then also, we want to go into the part of احفظ الله تجده أمامك. That part, right? And then we also want to go into the part of تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. And also إذا سألت فاسأل الله. Maybe we'll get there. We'll see inshallah. طيب. Quickly, we'll go over the hadith quickly. I'm going to read the Arabic. You can follow the English if you don't understand Arabic. So, عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه كنت خلف رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يوما فقال لي يا غلام إني أعلمك كلمات احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمع على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك وأن اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك بشيء قد كتب إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك رفعت الأقلام ووجفت الصحف. That's the first version, and the second version we mentioned is احفظ الله تجده تجاهك أو تجده أمامك تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة واعلم أن ما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك وما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك واعلم أن النصر مع الصبر وأن الفرج مع الكرب وأن مع العسر يسرا. طيب, so those are the two versions of the hadith. And so last time we were in the area of now the answer. احفظ الله يحفظك. احفظ الله and Allah سبحانه وتعالى will protect you. And we mentioned that this is a principle in the Quran. We find it actually in our deen everywhere, right? وَأُوفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِي بِعَهْدِكُمْ. This is just quick review. فَذْكُرُونِ أَذْكُرْكُمْ. If you remember me, and there's many proofs of the opposite also. In Surah Al-Hashr, for example, I forgot to mention this last time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهِ. What's the result? فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Don't be like the ones who forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even caused them to forget themselves. So obviously they forget themselves and forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the opposite is true. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. Right? There's always these conditions. Do this and Allah will give you this. Do this and Allah will do this for you. Jameel. And we said that the opposite is true as well, right? Right? And we said some of the early Muslims, they said, when I disobey Allah, I see it in the bad attitude of my animal. Or some of them said, I see it in the bad attitude of my wife, right? And of course, we're going to talk about Qadr later. This is a very important part of the hadith. And of course, Al-Qadr is something that that confuses a lot of people. But I just want to mention one thing here, that sometimes the situation you're in is because of something you have done, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah An-Nisa, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Right? That whatever good comes to you is from Allah. And whatever bad things come to you, it's because of yourself, something that you have done, right? And so that can also cause things to happen. We'll talk about more of that, inshallah, when we get to Al-Qadr. طيب. And we said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says He will protect you, يعني He will protect your worldly affairs and your religion. We went over the worldly affairs, right? We went over that. Yes, we stopped right here. So Aisha giving advice to Muawiyah. طيب. Would you believe that when you are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will also protect your children? Huh? What's the dalil for that? Surah Al-Kahf, ahsant. The ayah? Ahsant, ahsant. Ahsant, ahsant. So the proof is in Surah Al-Kahf. And this is a very beautiful story. طبعاً, for those of you who don't know the story, in Surah Al-Kahf, a surah that we're supposed to, يعني, it's recommended that we read every week because it has so many amazing lessons and it talks about the trials of life. Right, and in the end of the surah, there's a story of Musa alayhi salam. طبعاً, the story is that Musa, someone asked about if there's anyone more knowledgeable than you, and Musa alayhi salam said, "I don't know anybody more knowledgeable." طبعاً, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to kind of teach him a lesson, and so He told him, "There's someone more knowledgeable than you. Who is that person?" He told him, "You have to go to XYZ place, and you will meet him there." So then he went there and he met someone by the name of Al-Khadr. Some said he was a prophet, some said he's just someone that he received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, so what happened is, of course, you know the story, there was three incidents, right? طبعاً, Musa said, I want to be your student, I want to learn with you. And then Al-Khadr said what to him? إِنَّكَ لَن تَسْتَطِيعَ مَعِيَ صَبْرًا. You will not be patient enough, right? This is, يعني, he's talking to one of Ulul Azam, one of the great five messengers, Musa alayhi salam, right? So Musa said, no, I'll be patient, يعني. طبعاً, so then they went, And what happened? The first thing, they get on the boat, right? And then Al-Khadr does what? He pokes a hole in the boat for no reason. Well, for apparently no reason. طبعاً, then he explains why he did it. Musa says, why did you do that? So then Al-Khadr says, what? I told you, you're not going to be patient. He said, okay, khalas. Give me another chance. So then they go and they meet these children. And then what does Al-Khadr do? Huh? Yeah. He kills one of the children. Ajib. Put yourself in Musa's position, yani. This is not an easy situation, right? He sees this man kill a child. And so obviously he said, and the child didn't do anything. Yeah? Why would you kill an innocent child? And so now the man says, you know, I told you you're not going to be patient. So Musa said, give me one more chance. Huh? I'm paraphrasing here, yani. This is not what the ayah exactly says. And then what happens? حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَيَا أَهْلَ قَرْيَةٍ إِسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا. Until they reach a people of a village, right? And now, of course, they're travelers, right? So what do they need? Food, they're hungry, right? So إِسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا. إِسْتَطْعَمَا يعني طَلَبُوا الطَّعَامِ, يعني they asked for food. إِسْتَطْعَمَا أَهْلَهَا. Did the people give them food? Huh? SubhanAllah. يعني a messenger and a prophet come to your house and ask for food, and then you say no to them, SubhanAllah. Imagine how rude you have to be. So the people of this village, they were very rude. And they were very la'im, yani very greedy, selfish, you name it. And this is interesting. Why? Because if you reflect about this, so they went, استطعم أهلها فأبوا أن يضيفوهما. They refused. And الضيافة is wajib, right? Like when someone comes to you, yeah, من كان يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر, what? فليكرم ضيفة. The Prophet says, whoever believes in Allah on the Day of Judgment, then they should honor their guests. صحيح. So this is one of the rights of the Muslim. فوجد فيها جدارا يريد أن ينقض. So they found this wall that is like falling apart, right? Random, يعني to Musa it seems random. يريد أن ينقض فأقامه. So then what? What did they do? They fixed it, right? So and then Musa is like surprised, like, and then Khidr fixed it, right? And he told him to help me fix it. But he didn't ask for what? For food, right? Like, you're hungry, right? You ask the people to give you food, they said no. And then you do them a favor, but you still don't ask them for food. So now Al-Khidr says, khalas, you've crossed the line now. You know? هَذَا فِرَاقُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ. Okay? So now what happens? What does he say to him? So he says to him later, فَأَمَّا الْجِدَارِ فَكَانَ. So the wall that they built, who was it for? Who was the wall for? فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. Two young children who are orphans. Do the orphans have any power or any support? Huh? Orphans are like the weakest in the society. And that's why there's so many ayat about the rights of the yatim in the Quran and the Sunnah. The yatim has no one to protect him. There's no father. يعني, there's no manfolk. يعني, he's very weak. What happened is, their father had put treasure in there. Uh-huh. And then he wanted to leave it there for the children. Right? And so subhanAllah, okay, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says? وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. This is the shahid. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought a messenger. I want you to just ponder this. Allah brought a messenger and a prophet, okay, to protect the huquq, the rights of these children. Why? How? Because their father, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. SubhanAllah. So by you being mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, actually it will be a cause for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect your children. Right? Many times you say, oh, how can I protect my children? Well, the first thing is, before you go to all the other means, right, is take care of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take care of your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Ibn Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he says, no believer dies, but Allah safeguards his progeny and their progeny. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, one of the greatest, some say that he was the fifth rightly guided Khalifa. And something interesting, he's not just saying that randomly. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, if you go back to his story, the story is long, but basically, one of the servants there, he was paid by one of the cousins of Umar to poison him, right? And so Umar ibn Aziz asked him, he figured it out. He said, who paid you, right? He said, one of your cousins. So Umar ibn Aziz says, how much? He said, you know, a couple of thousand dirhams or dinars, golden dinars. So Umar ibn Aziz says, put them in the Baytul Mal of the Muslimin, okay, and then run, and then get away, like run. Yeah, and I forgive you. He forgave him, subhanAllah. And then when people found out that he was going to pass away, he's poisoned, he has poison in his blood. From his close friends, they said, of course, Umar ibn Aziz, was he a wealthy person? He gave everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he didn't have anything left for his children. And he had many children. And so one of his friends said, let me give you some money so you can leave some inheritance for your children. Okay? So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, he says, if my children are righteous, فَإِنَّ اللَّهِ يَتَوَلَّى الصَّالِحِينَ. If my children are righteous children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of the righteous, right? And subhanAllah, his children were fine, religiously, financially, and everything else, subhanAllah. Because they were righteous, of course, and because their father, he was mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout his life. Jameel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will also protect your religion. You know, sometimes we never think about this. Yani we are, most of us are born Muslim, right? I mean, that's yani the greatest ni'mah we've been given is that we are born Muslim. Yani this ni'mah of Islam, and sometimes we take it for granted. And we think, khalas, we're a Muslim, I'm going to die as a Muslim. Of course, that's not in our hand, right? And this is something that we need to kind of keep conscious of and always ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for hidayah. And so many times you see people, yani one day they're coming to the masjid, the next day they're gone, subhanAllah. One day she's wearing a hijab, the next day it's off, right? One day the person is, مثلاً, you know, giving sadaqah and doing righteous deeds, then he stops doing that, right? And many times also we see people, they're Muslim one day, the next day they want to leave. And then we see people, they have shubuhat, doubts, right? And they start doubting Islam, right? And so all this comes down to lack of protection in their deen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect your religion from doubts, right? Al-shubuhat. Wa-shahawat, right? And wa-shahawat, yani desires, evil desires. And also having a bad death. Yani one of the signs one of the good signs for a believer is that he has a good death. طبعاً, that's one of the most difficult things that a believer has to go through. If you look at the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, yeah, subhanAllah, the story of Yusuf is amazing. Right? And Yusuf was put through some very difficult situations. And one of the most difficult situations was when? وَرَاوَدَتْهُ? Yeah. So when he was in a room as a slave with one of the most beautiful women in the village, right? And nobody that knew him was there, right? And the doors were locked. And you just, yani, you couldn't think of a worse scenario. Right? And so and Allah subhanahu tells us in the Quran, وَلَقَدْ هَمَّتْ بِهِ. يعني امرأة العزيز, she advanced towards him. يعني she had him, يعني she wanted him. وَهَمَّ بِهَا. One of the tafsir, it means that also Yusuf, yeah, naturally, also Yusuf had a hem for her. يعني also Yusuf wanted, يعني it's a natural desire. Other ulama said no. Right? The way you read the ayah, وَهَمَّ بِهَا لَوْلَا أَرَّأَ بُرْهَانَ رَبِّهِ. يعني he was going to have him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. But others, they said, no, Yusuf had the him, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervened and saved Yusuf alayhi salam. Right? Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salam is someone who used to what? Who was mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when he was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his deen. كذلك لنصرف عنه السوء والفحشاء إنه من عبادنا المخلصين إنه من عبادنا المخلصين. This is how we kept evil and indecency away from him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him in those difficult times. One time Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he heard a man making a dua. He says, the person was saying, oh Allah, indeed you intervene between a person and his heart, so intervene between me and your disobedience, right? طبعاً, it's natural that يعني someone who I guess would be practicing or they consider themselves righteous, it's not natural that sometimes they'll be what? They'll incline towards doing a sin, right? And so so this person was, and of course that's like a hem that you have in your heart, right? And so that hem, if you don't take care of it, what happens? Then it becomes like a full plan. And then that full plan, if you don't stop it, what happens? then it becomes an action, right? And so this man was making dua, oh Allah, intervene between me and my heart. And he come in between my evil intentions, so I stay away from your disobedience. When Umar ibn Khattab heard this, he liked the dua, he approved it. And this man, he got this dua from where? From Surah Al-Anfal, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. And know that Allah intervenes between a man and his heart. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intervenes between a man and his heart. Ibn Abbas, and we're talking about the hadith to Ibn Abbas, he made tafsir of this ayah, and he says, he intervenes between believers and the disobedience, which will drag them to the fire. Yani those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they have that evil inclination, who comes to rescue them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Because sometimes you're in a situation when you're powerless, right? Yani in the situation of Yusuf alayhi salam, right? I mean, if you think of a situation like that for a male, that's a difficult situation, right? That's a very difficult situation, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to his rescue. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَحُولُ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَقَلْبِهِ. So that's one way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects your religion. SubhanAllah, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects your religion through an accomplice. What's an accomplice? It's a big word. What's an accomplice? Accomplice is like, yani if you want to do like a crime or something, it's the one who helps you with it. Yeah, like your partner in crime, right? That's correct, right? An accomplice is like your partner in crime. So subhanAllah, it's interesting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometimes, the author, he mentions, like for example, the story of, if you guys recall the story of those three who were stuck in a cave, right? There's a hadith about those three people who were stuck in a cave, right? And a big rock blocked the road, the door. So what happened? How did they get out? Who remembers? Huh? Who remembers? Tfaddal. Jameel, ahsan. So they had each of them had a deed that they did sincerely to Allah. This is the key here, and so because they were mindful of Allah in that situation, they said, "Oh Allah, if this was done sincerely for you, then help me get out," basically. And Allah would move the rock. One of them, he put himself in a situation where he was going to commit the act of zina from the kaba'ir, right? The act of fornication from the kaba'ir, right? And then the person who he's going to commit zina with, right? She said to him, Ya Abdullah, ittaqillah. Like, O slave of Allah, fear Allah and do not break the seal, except with its haqq, except with its right. And so this person kind of woke up and he remembered Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he left her. And he did it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's many similar stories that you find like that. Like for example, it's mentioned, yani the author mentions other stories, like in the time of Bani Israel, one of the men, right, he same situation. He paid this woman to do zina with her, right? And so they went into this room and he said, he closed all the doors. He says, I just closed the last door. And so the woman, right, the woman that he paid to do zina with, she said, you forgot one door. He said, which door is that? She said, the door between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then he said, how can this lady have more taqwa than me? And so he left her and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them. And many stories like that you find in the books of Siyar. Hassan said when mentioning the sinful, he said, Al-Hassan al-Basri here, rahimahullah, he says, one of the reasons why people commit sins, he says, because they underestimate Allah. And he gets this from the ayah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. يعني, think about it, why would someone sin? Because they kind of belittle Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Really, if we're honest with ourselves, the person at that time, he's belittling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, they underestimated Allah, leading them to disobey him. He says, had they realized his greatness, he would have protected them from disobedience. SubhanAllah. And so one of the ways of being protected from disobedience is what? Is to get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Knowing how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If Allah becomes the greatest thing in front of you, then you would not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you were inclined to do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect you. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes he protects your religion through an interception. What does that mean? Yani, and this is very interesting, subhanAllah. Sometimes you want something, Jameel. So, مثلاً, you've been asking for, a very expensive car, مثلاً. Or you've been asking, you're single, and you've been asking Allah to get you married to this specific girl, مثلاً. Right? And so it's not happening. It's not taking place. Right? And what do you say? Oh, you say, oh, subhanAllah, Allah's not answering my dua, and people, you know, are upset, and how come Allah doesn't answer my dua, and they start, you know, despairing and stuff. So sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects your deen, okay, by stopping something in the dunya that you wanted, right? Like a specific relationship with somebody, or maybe like money, business, right? Or maybe it's a position at work or whatever it is, right? And we don't realize that this is a ni'mah, right? And Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu, he explained this very well. He says, sometimes a slave of Allah is determined to carry out some business, or he aspires to a position of authority, and he very nearly achieves it. Yani, he wants something, and he asks Allah for it, and he almost gets it. So meanwhile, Allah watches him and says to the angels, take it from him. And don't let him have it or take it away from him. If I facilitate this for him, yani if I let him have it or make it easy for him to get it, I will enter him into the fire. So Allah snatches that from him while he assumes it to be bad luck, moaning, so-and-so surpassed me and so-and-so is smarter than me, but it is nothing but the bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And isn't that true? Like many times in your life, subhanAllah, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't, right? Sometimes Allah makes you see it. You wanted something, and Allah doesn't give it to you. And then when you see later, you're like, subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, I didn't get it. Because sometimes you, taban, not sometimes, you, aslan, you, one of the weakness as a human being is, do you know what's good for you for sure? Yani, inta, you might say, well, yani, generally, it's good for me to have, yani, to be a CEO of a company, مثلاً. Or maybe you might say, it's good for me to be an imam, مثلاً. Would someone say that it's bad to be an imam? Huh? Generally, it's good to be a person of deen, right? But could someone be misguided through that? Yeah, for sure. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us an example in the Quran. وَاتْلُ عَلَيْهِمْ نَبَأَ الَّذِي آتَيْنَاهُ آيَاتِنَا فَانْسَلَخَ مِنْهَا فَأَتْبَعَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives an example of one of the ulama of Bani Israel who was given knowledge, and because of, he got overtaken by his authority, his position, right? Because some people cannot handle to be in a position of authority, مثلاً, or cannot handle the pressure of being asked many questions. It's a fitna, right? It's a fitna, right? Just like having a lot of wealth, right? Generally, you might say, well, alhamdulillah, that's good. But having a lot of wealth is also what? A fitna, right? People will say, I'm being tested with poverty. Tayyib, the guy who has money is also being tested. You don't understand, but he is also being tested. Why? Because ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَ أَذِنْ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. He will be asked about every penny, right? And when a person has wealth, if someone does some sins, right? And he's broke, right? And then Allah gives him a lot of money. What's going to happen? Huh? He's going to become righteous and make tawbah? What's going to happen? You guys tell me. Huh? He's going to make more sins, yani, but greater. Because greater magnitude. Because now he has more money. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep that away from him, and that is a mercy for him, subhanAllah. So that's another way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might protect your deen. One big lesson that we take from this is what? Is that when you ask, inshallah, we're going to talk about asking later in the hadith, but when you ask, you should always be happy, right? Because you should have the yaqeen that if it comes to you, it's good for you, right? If it doesn't come to you, it's because it's good for you. This is very important to understand, right? And when you understand that, you will be more comfortable with dua, right? Someone might say, well, khalas, I'm not going to make dua. Well, inshallah, when we get to dua, we'll talk about that, inshallah. Tayyib. So an action item for you guys and for me, for everybody here. So, and this is something that we should do every night. It was narrated that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said,
when any one of you wants, when any one of you wants to go to bed, right? Let him undo the edge of his izar, right? His, back in the day they would have like a wrap for their waist, and dust off his bed with it. So this is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Tab'an, back in the day, I mean, houses were not as protected as now. You could go to bed and there's a scorpion, right? And even now, in other countries. But even now, aslan, there could be many things, many harms. Maybe there's a shaitan or something, or some jinn or something like that. So from the sunnah is that you go and you say bismillah and you dust it. You just dust it, right? Because he says, he doesn't know what came after him. Then he says, let him lie down on his right side, right? From the etiquettes of sleeping is that we sleep on our right side, right? We avoid sleeping on our stomachs or on our left side. So he should lie down on her right side and say this dua, Bismika Rabbi wada'tu jambi wa bika arfa'uhu, in amsakta nafsi faghfir laha wa in arsaltaha fahfadha bima tahfadhu bihi ibadika as-salihin. Right? This is dua that we should memorize and teach our children. Bismika Rabbi wada'tu jambi wa bika arfa'uhu, in amsakta nafsi faghfir laha wa in arsaltaha fahfadha bima tahfadhu bihi ibadika as-salihin. O Allah, in your name I put my sight to sleep and in your name I raise it. طبعاً, when you sleep is a type of what? It's a type of death, صح? Yeah? الله يتوفى الأنفس حين موتها. Yeah? والتي لم تمت في منامها. That's the ayah, right? Surah Az-Zumar. Right? And so sleep is like a type of death, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you go to sleep, He snatches the soul of the person, right? And usually, if you wake up, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent back your soul. So in the hadith you say, O Allah, if you take my soul away in my sleep, farhamha. Yeah? Have mercy on it. فَغْفِرْ لَهَا, forgive it and have mercy on it. And if you send it back in the morning, if you send it back to me, وَإِنْ أَرْسَلْتَهَا فَحْفَظْهَا, okay, then protect it in the way that you protect the pious and the righteous people. It's an amazing dua, right? So that every night before you sleep, you're making this dua so that when you wake up in the morning, then you've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection. This was from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Jameel. طيب. Now we go to the next part of the hadith, which is احفظ الله تجده أمامك. So now it's the same action, you're getting now a second reward. So احفظ الله يحفظك. Okay, احفظ الله تجده أمامك. Okay, so now be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will find Him, okay, in front of you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be with you. طيب, سؤال, how is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with us? What does that mean? I'm asking you guys now. Let's get the candy moving here. What does it mean that Allah is with us? طيب, so one way is that He protects us. Jameel, طيب, yeah, I'll give you candy for that one. Oh, sorry. طيب. What's another way? There's two ways that the ulama talk about Allah being with us. تفضل. Does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is right in here next to me? Like, is Allah here right here next to me? What does it mean that Allah... So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says... نعم, تفضل. Mm-hmm. طيب, that's close to what Hazm said. So like protection. But here what I'm trying to say is, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. When Allah says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ, what does that mean? Elaborate. When Allah says, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ, what does it mean, مَعَكُمْ? With you. That's what it means, right? وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ. So He's watching you. He's with you through His knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ, okay, He knows what you're doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about what everybody's doing, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُوَ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's in the land and what's in the ocean. Yeah, subhanAllah, if you just do the tadabbur of this ayat, it's amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what's happening in all the land. طيب, that's nice. And all the oceans. Even the human beings haven't even explore like what more than 80% of it or 90% of the oceans. Allah knows exactly what's happening everywhere. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا عجيب. How many leaves fall off a tree? Allah knows about every tree, every leaf that falls. When it falls, when it lands, how many? In every, يعني, when you think about that, you say subhanallah. All you have to say is subhanallah, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, number one, He's with His creation through His knowledge, right? It doesn't mean that Allah ma'akum, يعني, He's right here. He's with us through His knowledge. وَهُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُمْ. Yeah, wherever you are. In Surah Al-Mujadala, مَا يَكُونُ مِن نَجْوَى ثَلَاثَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ رَابِعُمْ وَلَا خَمْسَةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ سَادِسُهُمْ. Yeah, whenever there's three people, Allah is the fourth. Yeah, it doesn't mean fourth like in this, no, but through His knowledge, right? And there's no five people except Allah is what? The sixth person. Yeah? Jameel. طيب. The second way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala His ma'iyya is that He's with the believers. And this is the meaning that is meant in this hadith. يعني تجده أمامك أو تجده تجاهك يعني he will be with you. يعني with you, يعني supporting you. Right? And this other meaning, we get it in many of the ayat. Like for example, when Harun and Musa, right? When Harun and Musa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to them, go to Fir'aun. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Musa and Harun, فَذْهَبَا إِلَىٰ Fir'aun. Right? He said to them, لَا تَخَافَ إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا. Okay? Yeah, don't be afraid. Obviously, it's not the first meaning because they know that Allah can see everything. But Allah is saying here, don't be afraid. Why? Because I'm here to assist you. يعني, إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَى. يعني, I'm here and I'll be with you when you're hearing things and when you're seeing things. يعني, I'll be supporting you. And that's the ma'iyya that's mentioned here. Right? We have in Surah At-Tawbah when the story of the Prophet ﷺ and who? In the cave, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, right? Ajib, yani Abu Bakr said, yani Abu Bakr was scared. Yani the Quraysh were like right on top of them. And had they just looked down, they would have seen him, right? Right? And so the Prophet ﷺ says, yani what would make you think of yani of two that Allah is their third, right? And so Allah mentions this, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ. When the Prophet ﷺ said to his friend, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, لا تحزن. Don't be sad. Don't be afraid. Why? إن الله معنا. إن الله معنا. سبحان الله. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إن الذين إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who have taqwa, right? Who have taqwa, who are mindful of Allah, and those who do good deeds. This is the last ayah in Surah An-Nahl, chapter 16. طيب, so تجده أمامك, يعني he's with you, which means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is encompassing the person, يعني he's with him, helping him, safeguarding him, facilitating things for him, aiding him, and correcting him in every situation. يعني عجيب, يعني this is amazing because, you know, imagine someone who goes through his life and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there with him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is supporting him. When he wants to make a decision, Allah is with him. When he feels like nobody's supporting him from the creation, he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he's never alone, right? And he never has that fear of making the wrong choice or the wrong decision because he has that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qatada radiallahu anhu, he says, whoever fears Allah, yani whoever is mindful of Allah, he is with him. Allah is with him. And whoever has Allah with him possesses a group that cannot be defeated, a guard that does not sleep, and a guide that does not stray. Ya salam. Yani, what else do you need? Yani if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you, yani you cannot be defeated. Yani you have nothing to be afraid of, right? And you have a guard that does not sleep. Yeah, you can hire security, but eventually they have to sleep, right? And they can be overtaken. But nobody can overtake Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. Subhanallah. Right? And a guide that does not stray. So you're always going to be on the straight path. Subhanallah. And there's so many things, pushing people away from the straight path. But when you're close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects you from that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be with you. Will be with you. And it's interesting, he says, تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكَ. Yani it's like he's guiding you to the straight path. Right? تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكَ, in front of you. Right? And that's where you really want to see the support. Right? Do you want support behind you? Or on your right or left? No, you want support where? Right there in front of you. When you need it the most. تجده أمامك أو تجده تجاهك يعني in your direction. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in Surah Yunus, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, that the awliya of Allah, the close people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there is no khawf alayhim. There is no fear upon them. يعني they have no need to be afraid of something. It could be something that they don't even know is coming. يعني from the mufassirin, they says, لا خوف عليهم. يعني it could be something that's coming and they don't know about it. And they don't have to fear about that. Subhanallah. لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. So they have nothing to fear about the future. And what's the other issue? Being sad about the past. ولا هم يحزنون. They have nothing to fear about the past. Yeah? Because they're so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they're so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they ask Him for forgiveness, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do what? Forgive them. So there's nothing to be sad about, which is the perfect situation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the awliya of Allah. He says, who are the awliya of Allah? Alladhina amanu wa kanu yattaqun. Those who have faith and are mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the whole hadith what we're talking about. Right? When you have when you're mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it means you have taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? You follow His commandments, you stay away from the prohibitions and from the shubahat, from the gray areas. He says, lahumul bushra fil hayat ad-dunya wa fil akhirah. Yani they have good news, glad tidings in the dunya and in the akhirah. Yeah? Whoever wants the dunya, then let them know that with Allah is the dunya and the akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells in Surah An-Nisa. Subhanallah. Man kana yuridu thawab ad-dunya fa'inda Allahi thawab ad-dunya wal akhirah. If you want the dunya and the akhirah, it's with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thalika al-fawzu al-azim, Allah calls it. This is the ultimate success and victory. And this is the promise of Allah. La tabdila likalimatillah. Yani it's a promise of Allah, it will happen. Jameel. And subhanAllah, this reminds us of one of the most amazing hadith, Qudsis, that you can read about. And subhanAllah, every time you read this hadith, it's amazing. And this is they call it the hadith of the wilaya, hadith al-wilaya. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this hadith Qudsi, the Prophet ﷺ says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ عَادَ لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. Just think about this. So if a person is very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he reaches the level of wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever shows enmity, يعني tries to be an enemy of one of my awliya, then I have declared war against him. خلاص, يعني if Allah declared war against your enemy, you have nothing to worry about. فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. تمام. And then he says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ. Now Allah is kind of telling us, how do you get to that level? وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. This is very important because Allah says here, and my servant does not draw near to me with anything more beloved to me than the religious duties I've obligated. يعني, what it means is that the best way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people ask, how do I get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah is saying in this hadith Qudsi that the best way to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is how? By doing the fara'id. By doing what? The fara'id, the obligations, right? احفظ الله, we mentioned about being mindful of your salah and your, right? And so these fara'id, sometimes we do them and we don't think about it, right? And so one of the best ways to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes people do recommended things and they forget about the fara'id. Yeah, and they'll do something recommended and then they don't pay attention for the fara'id and they're skipping a step here. Because if you want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then be good with your fara'id, right? And so it doesn't make sense for you to say, I want to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you're missing the morning prayer, right? When you're missing the fara'id, when you're skipping fasting, what's obligated upon you, right? When you're skipping your zakah. When you do these fara'id, that's how you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Someone, tries to do volunteering and help with the community, but he neglects his mother and father. This is from the fara'id, to be good to your parents, to connect the ties with your kin, with your relatives. These are from the fara'id. And so when you do that, you get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of these things we neglect, right? But when you do these, you get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, so now you get that closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he says, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. Jameel. So now you want Allah to love you. How do you get to that next level? You start doing nawafil. You start doing the recommended acts. Now you start adding more. You start doing the sunan. You pray extra prayers. You give sadaqah. right? These are recommended acts. You get up and pray in the night, right? You do extra help. You volunteer. Fi sabilillah. Now you keep doing those after your fara'id. Now you're building your house. Now you become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب, what does that mean? You might say, well, what does it mean if Allah loves me? Well, listen to the hadith. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. Exactly what we were saying in the hadith of Ibn Abbas. Now, if I love him, I will be like, I'll be his hearing. Subhanallah. كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهِ. And I'll be assisting him in his eyesight. وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْطِشُ بِهَا. And his hand that strikes with. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. And his feet that he walks with. And look at this. وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. Subhanallah. And if he asks me, sometimes we're like, what will bring, what will cause Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to answer my dua more? Well, first of all, do your fara'id. Do more, do some extra ibadat. And Allah says, وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ. Subhanallah. And we see this like in some of the stories of the Sahaba, right? They would ask something and it's done. If one of them would make that dua, and you see that in the Prophet ﷺ, when he would make dua, it would happen on the spot. Subhanallah. Why? Because they have that close connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَاذَنِي لَأُعِيدَنَّهُ. And if he asks for my protection, then I will surely protect him. Subhanallah. Amazing hadith, right? And it really kind of explains everything we talked about in the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to be there. تَجِدْهُ أَمَامَكَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you'll see him, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will assist you in your life. Now the hadith goes on, it says, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ. Get to know Allah. Get to know, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاءِ يَعْرِفْكَ فِي الشِّدَّةِ. Okay, so now he says, okay, get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the easy times, in the times of prosperity. What's the natural thing that human beings do? You're smiling. What's the natural thing that we do? Let's be honest here. Yeah, so we can learn from, na'am, tafadda. Yeah, so in good times, do we tend to remember Allah? So usually, للأسف الشديد, and we want to fix that, right? للأسف الشديد, when we are, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us things, we're healthy, mashallah, we're in a, you can call it a summer or a spring, right, in your life. Yeah, you're in a spring or a summer, you just got a job, mashallah, you got married, and everything is going well, relationship is good. MashaAllah, your job is well, your bank is full, everything is nice, your health is good. Tamam? We tend to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what we learn here is, this is the time to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet is telling Ibn Abbas, تَعَرَّفْ إِلَى اللَّهِ فِي الرَّخَاء. Get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, okay, in the good times. Why? What's the result? He will be there for you in the times of difficulty. And subhanAllah, we do... What do we do? When we're in difficult situations, we ask Allah for help. When we lose our job, Ya Allah. Okay? But when we had the job, we're not saying Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Allah, that you have given me. No, many of us, what do? We say, this is because of me. Because I worked hard. Because I studied hard. I did all-nighters. Because I have connections. Right? SubhanAllah, this is a good reminder for us that whatever you have, it's not because of you. There are people who are smarter than you, and they don't have what you have. This is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something we have to realize. That's part of getting to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you realize that what you have, it's a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَكُ مُغَيِّرًا نِعْمَةً أَنْعَمَهَا عَلَى قَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. In Surah Al-Anfal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not remove a ni'mah from a person until they change that which is in themselves. The Mufassirin, they said, it means that Allah will not remove a ni'mah that you have until you become, until you feel like this is, you got this by yourself. One of the meanings of this ayah is that when a person starts feeling a bit arrogant and forgetting that this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying that I got this by myself, like Qarun claimed, right? إِنَّمَا أُوتِيتُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ عِنْدِي, he said, right? And so this is one of the ways that Allah will take a ni'mah from a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take a ni'mah from a person. طيب, جميل. So get acquainted with Allah during times of prosperity. He will know you in adversity. So what does it mean to be acquainted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abu Sulaiman, this is I'm quoting from the book. He says, Abu Sulaiman heard a man saying, I spent last night talking about women, right? So he said, woe to you. Abu Sulaiman said to this man, woe to you, have you no shame before him? And before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees you spending the night mentioning something besides him. But how can you be bashful? And how can you have shame before one you do not even know? And so this is a high level, right? That the people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it doesn't mean you don't think of other things. No, what he's trying to say, this is the nighttime is meant to be a time for what? When you're in private with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the best time, to get to know to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes to the lowest levels of the heavens, and he says, who is asking, I'll give them. Who wants to be forgiven, I'll forgive them, right? And so he's telling, you don't have shame to be talking about something else in the dunya, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there asking, right? And so this is one of the ways that to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in those times of closeness. And so he says to him, how can you have haya of Allah if you don't really understand who Allah is? Right, goes back to the ayah, وَمَا قَدَرُ اللَّهَ حَقَّ قَدْرِهِ. Like we don't sometimes, subhanAllah, we don't give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala his right estimation, or it's hard to translate, right? The qadr, we don't appreciate Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, appreciate his greatness, right? And what he can do for us. Ahmad ibn Asim, he said that, I do not want to die until I have recognized my Lord, right? And he says, recognition of him is not just affirming him. So when you say ta'arraf ilallah, it doesn't just mean that, oh yeah, I know Allah. No, he says, recognition of Allah is not just affirming him, but recognizing him is to have shame in front of him. This is another deep meaning. That you have shame. When you're about to commit something haram, you have shame to do that. You have haya to do that. Right? This is really knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when a person tries to do something haram and forgetting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not caring that Allah is watching them, that is a sign that they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they're not acquainted with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those. Abu Huraira mentioned that man sarrahu, that the Prophet ﷺ says, man sarrahu an yastajib Allahu lahu inda ash-shada'id wal-kurabi falyukthir ad-du'a fi ar-rakha. Whoever wishes that Allah would respond to him during hardship and grief, then let him supplicate plentifully when in times of ease. Right? We only make dua when it's when tough times. And subhanAllah, we should make it a habit to make dua in the good times as well. Make dua in the good times. Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps what you have. Make dua for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you more. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. Make dua to Allah, many things, right? And that, because الدُّعَاء هِيَ الْعِبَادَةِ. Like, dua is ibadah. And when a person cuts dua, he's cutting a major part of worship, of ibadah. And so knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it includes three things. So number one is refraining from sin. Having that shame to not commit sin in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remembering him, doing dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me and I will remember you. And I'll finish with this one, the story of Yunus alayhi salam. SubhanAllah, Yunus alayhi salam, a very interesting story. طبعاً, what happened to Yunus alayhi salam? Right? He got swallowed by the whale, by the hoot, right? Imagine being swallowed by the whale. So now you're in the darkness of the whale, in the darkness of the ocean, in the darkness of the night. Ajib. Who can help you now? If he had a cell phone, could someone help him? SubhanAllah. Right? And so he's making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's mentioned in the hadith that the angel said, sawtun ma'roof, right? Like it's a familiar sound. The angels are saying, this is a familiar sound. Min makanin ghayr ma'roof. From a place that is not known. They're saying, who makes dua? Who's making dua from the belly of a whale? Ajib. So then they tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is my slave Yunus, right? My slave Yunus alayhi salam, who always used to remember me and make dua to me in the good times. Okay? So save him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, saved him and made the whale spit him out. SubhanAllah. And that's why, and the shahid here is, Allah subhanahu says, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. Allah subhanahu says, had he not been from those who remembered Allah, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُ أو لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Allah subhanahu says, had Yunus alayhi salam not been from those who was close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the good times and made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the angels knew his voice, had he not been from those, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, he would have stayed in the whale until the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Right? And this is the last thing. Salman al-Farisi says, if a man is given to supplicating in times of ease and is then faced with hardship and supplicates to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels say, this is a familiar voice. And they intercede for him. The angels will intercede for this person who's, they're familiar with his voice. The angels are familiar with the voice of this person. And if he is not given to supplicate if he doesn't supplicate in the good times, and then he's faced with hardship, right? And then he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the angels will say, this is an unfamiliar voice, and they will not intercede for him. They will not intercede for him. And this is, how do you understand this? We'll explain this inshallah in the next week. When we talk about qadr, right, the predestiny of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's two kinds. There's two kinds of qadr. There's the qadr that is going to happen whether you like it or not. This is the qadr that, yani, there's a harm that it will hit you whether you like it or not. Yani, whether you make dua or not. And there's khair that will come to you whether you make dua or not. But then there is a qadr that is mu'allaq, right? And we'll explain this more inshallah next week, that it's connected to dua. And so if you make dua for that thing, you will get it. And if you make dua for Allah to protect you from that thing, Allah will push it away from you, right? And this is what they're talking about here. This is what they're talking about. And then when he says, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتِ, there's those angels that protect you, then he means they protect you from the second level, the one that's connected to dua. But the angels cannot protect you from the things that have to happen. Right? So that's how we understand this. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. It's Maghrib time. Inshallah, we'll stop here. Subhanakallahu bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Barakallahu fikum for your attentive listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.